Good afternoon, brethren. It's have you ever been deceived? Have you ever bought a product that promised the earth and failed to deliver? I had a patch of poison ivy under the hedge and I tried all sorts of products, but lo and behold, that poison ivy, though almost gone, survived. So at last resort I bought the smallest quantity possible of Roundup, and I was badly deceived by the publicity, because Roundup failed to deliver, could not get rid of the poison ivy. I never should have used it in the first place, because it's pure poison. Today the topic is deception. In the Bible, the first person to be deceived was Eve. Deception has been around from the very beginning. Other examples are the deception that Jacob and his mother pulled off on Isaac, the master of the household. In the book of Acts 18 to 20, Simon wanted to buy the power of the Holy Spirit. He was a deceiver. Paul makes an interesting comment in 1 Corinthians 13 verse 9. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. Here the Apostle Paul says we only know partially. We don't have complete knowledge. So that makes us all open to deception. This is especially true when it comes to the matters of God, Christ and the Bible. If you remember this well-known passage in Matthew 24 verse 4 to 5, talking about the end time, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no one deceive you. In fact, this is the first thing he said, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, that he was the Christ, and will deceive many. Here Jesus warned us about the danger of being deceived by false Christian beliefs and teachers. And in verse 11, Jesus said, at the end times the false prophets will be numerous and successful. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Why is this? If you look over in Revelation 12 verse 9, it says, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called Satan, the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth and his angels were cast out with him. Do you realize he managed to deceive a third of the angels in God's presence? God must have known what was going on, but he allowed the angels to be deceived. They chose to be deceived. So, that was quite an achievement. If he managed to deceive a third of the angels, what chance are we against Satan? Satan is a master deceiver. His focus is on us who have the Spirit of God and the truth. He's not worried about the communists or the Buddhists or the Hindus. He's locked them up in deception for the time being. So if you turn to 2 Corinthians 4 verse 3 to 4, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Satan is continuing to deceive the whole world. Again in Ephesians 2 verse 1 to 3, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Why then are we surprised that there is deception in Christianity and religions? Look at politics, for example. We've just had an election. The politicians make all sorts of promises that you know from experience, if you've lived long enough, that they could possibly never fulfill. Some of them even offer spiritual promises like peace and happiness, which is impossible without following God. They make excuses when they fail. They blame others for their failures. Have you ever heard a politician trying not to answer a journalist's question? It's very rare for them to answer a question in a straightforward way. They dodge and weave like an expert basketball player. They promote what we call spin these days. That's called lying in the newspeak. Despite all this, people continue to believe them, vote them in, and follow them. They're not interested in the truth. They're following their own agenda. And every age has its own fashion of ideas. Our current popular ideology is man-made climate change, and a longer-standing one is a theory of evolution. If you say you don't believe in these ideas, all you get is irrational arguments, abuse and insults. They will try to shout you down. A deceived mind is a mind troubled by deception. It doesn't want to hear the truth. We should not argue with people. We can't change people's minds if they're deceived. 2 Timothy 2:24, "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient." If someone is willing to listen or ask a question, then it's the time to clearly state your thoughts. Otherwise, it's wise to stay silent. Someone I know, fairly close to me, tries to argue with people about the Trinity, and he gets nowhere whatsoever, because he's obviously forgotten 1 Corinthians 2. If you're not called with the Spirit of God, you just don't see these things. In Christianity, the Trinity is a central doctrine that in the past people have defended and killed to support. If you are opposed to it as a group, you are branded a heretic. Yet it's not in the Bible. There are no scriptures that support the doctrine of the Trinity, unless quoted totally out of context. Let's turn now to 2 Corinthians 2, verse 1 to 4. The context is the end time. "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or letter, as if coming from us, as though the day of Christ had come." There were false letters going around at that time. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away come first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. There is a deception about the return of Christ, that he could return tonight or tomorrow. Before Jesus' return, there will be huge falling away from the truth. The man of sin will claim to be God. The man of sin will be sitting in some sort of temple in Jerusalem. This man of sin will be directly inspired by Satan, as I say, who managed to deceive one third of the angels. He will produce miracles and wonders that will absolutely amaze the world. in Revelation 13, verse 11 to 14. It expands on this. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth by these signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast, who was wounded by the sword and lived. Satan's miracles will deceive the majority of the people. Science will not be able to explain all these miracles. How can we avoid being deceived? How can we tell who is telling the truth and who is not? That's very important for us. And we start with the answer, start to give the answer in Isaiah 8, verse 19 to 20. And when they say unto you, seek those who are mediums and wizards, who whisper and mutter, should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? And verse 20, to the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. There we have a judge. There we can judge by this measure. Do they speak according to what God's word says? Years ago at the Feast of Tabernacles, we could always depend on having a sermonette on Bible study and a sermonette on prayer. It was never explained why these topics were repeated year after year, why they were important. The reason is we must know our Bible for our protection from deception. In Psalm 43 verse 3 it says, O send out your light and your truth, let them lead me, let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. We need God's light, we need God's word to bring us to salvation. And again in Psalm 119 verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word lights our way in a dark and deceitful world. We can tell what is true and what is not from the Bible. And Christ expands on this in Matthew 7 verse 15 to 20. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Here, Jesus expands on this theme. Notice his question, what are the fruits of people? We can discern the words of politicians in this way. What has happened to their promises? Have they kept their promises? What are the results? This applies to practically everyone. The same standard must be applied to all who claim to be preaching about Christ. Christians have God's Spirit. Christians who have God's Spirit should be producing the fruit of the Spirit, as outlined in Galatians 5, verse 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. We should not be producing the fruit of the flesh, as outlined in verses 19 to 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I have told you in the past time, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But in addition, the Apostle Paul mentions something else that I didn't read in 2 Corinthians 2, found in verse 10 and 11. And we talk about the end time, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, that's the man of sin deceiving people, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie. We should avoid being deceived by not only knowing the truth but also loving the truth. Otherwise we can be deceived. So in conclusion, when someone tries to argue with you, you could wonder if deception is involved. When someone tries to shout you down, interrupt and persuade you, beware. Protect your mind through Bible study and prayer. And remember in 1 John 4 verse 1, remember to try the spirits to see if they are of God. Behold, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And the final scripture is 2 Timothy 2 verse 24 to 25. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those who oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Brothers and sisters, let's all become servant leaders among God's people, studying our Bibles, quietly trying the spirits, and talking to God in prayer.